Troyer here for Infowars.com, and we are outside the Austin Independent School District Performance Arts Center, where a local church, Celebration Church, rents the facility to do their Sunday services. This is something that they have been doing for a while. They pay a fair price to do this. In fact, they've generated $182,000 for the AISD here just from renting this facility. Now, some local protesters didn't like the fact that AISD was allowing a Christian church to use their facilities, so they raised a fuss. Now, in response to that, the AISD has decided to give $10,000 towards sending children to the gay pride parade. So what's happening is they're taking $10,000 from the $182,000 they've generated from renting the facility to Celebration Church, and they're going to get buses and make sure that students have transportation, security, or even the ability to make arts and crafts and signs and participate in the gay pride parade. Now, this is an interesting story because you see in California and other states where they're forcing students to take the sexual courses in school that teach homosexuality, transsexual, and all of this other stuff. They're forcing kids to do that. Now, they're allowing funds to go towards busing children to gay pride parades here in Austin, Texas. Now, they're saying that this is to make it so that gay students can't be bullied or to normalize it so it's not an issue. But you have to wonder, is it really an issue for young kids being gay? Is that really such an issue? Is it really such an issue that we need to send them to the gay pride parade? And why is it it's okay to have the gay pride parade, the gay pride month, send kids to it, but you can't have a straight pride march? And I wonder, if you said, well, can we send these kids and take these funds to a straight pride march, would they do it then, or would the protest continue? I think that they wouldn't like that very much. So, ladies and gentlemen, we wanted to go inside and film the facility so you could see the actual facility where the church rents, and we wanted to get comments from some of the people that worked here, and they basically gave us the runaround, made us sit in there, and nobody would provide comment. We had to set an appointment. They wouldn't let us go inside and film, so they're really giving us the runaround. But I was able to get some interesting intel. Apparently, of the 50 groups that this facility rents to use their facilities over the weekends or when they're free, 49 of them are church groups. And the reason why this one church, Celebration Church, was targeted by a few protesters, was because on their website, they talk about being anti-homosexual, anti-transsexual, and they think that's an abomination of humanity. So that's why, that's apparently what started this whole momentum. But I was told that the reason they're doing this is because they have an LGBTQ initiative. So there is an LGBTQ initiative that they are trying to get kids going to gay pride parades, involved with gay pride stuff and transsexual stuff and maybe drag queen story hour stuff. But so there is an initiative there, but apparently it was this one church being anti-homosexual that raised some concern amongst voices that then forced the reallocation of funds. But they said the $10,000 going to sending kids to the gay pride parade was not necessarily just about Celebration Church, but because of their LGBTQ initiative. We'd love to get further comment from them or go inside to shoot, but they will not do that for us. They will not allow us an interview, and they will not let us inside. So, will Christian churches that rent facilities like this around the nation be forced to pay for children to go to gay pride marches? Will Christian churches stop renting facilities if they learn that that money is going to be allocated towards sexualizing children and sending them to gay pride parades? This could be a national story that starts here in Austin, Texas, just because a local group of protesters aren't happy that Christians are renting out a facility. So this happens across the nation. Are they going to start sending kids with these dollars to gay pride parades across the nation? Is this going to be an issue that parents raise? And will we send kids to straight pride parades as well, or will it just be gay pride parades? We're going to be following this closely. For Infowars.com, this is Owen Troyer.
Yes.
It's the Infowars.com War Room, brought to you by you at Infowarsstore.com. I'm your host, Owen Schroyer, here on this June 13th, 2019. Plenty of news to get to. You just saw my report on the Austin Independent School District here allocating funds to bus children to a gay pride parade, which, if you've seen footage from any of the recent gay pride parades, not really an event that you would call family friendly or for kids. But you see, it's all about indoctrination and sexualizing the children. I'm sure they would not much rather go to a planetarium or the zoo or a science center or a history museum or an art museum. No, let's send them to the gay pride parade. Maybe I'll attend that gay pride parade. Maybe Lefto the Clown will attend the gay pride parade. You really never know. It's just ridiculous. And then what are the kids going to think when they see this activity? Stuff that they wouldn't organically be thinking anyway. These kids are not sexual. They're just kids. It's like they can't even wait till, you know, high school after kids hit puberty to try to sexualize them. No, they got to do it before that now. And it's all indoctrination. If you missed that report, the story is at newswars.com and the report is at infowars.com. And we got some other news that we're going to get to today, some international news. But what we're going to do today is we're going to bring Matt Bracken on in the next segment, and we're going to open up the phone lines for your calls, because we had two oil tankers targeted with explosions in the Gulf of Oman. The two tankers were the MT Front Altar and Kukuka Courageous. The Norwegian-owned Altair was hit by a suspected torpedo, suffered three explosions, and caught fire. And then the Japanese-owned vessel, the Kukuka Courageous, was also hit, and they found unexploded devices on board as well, which is curious. Makes you think inside job. Now, details of this may or may not be emerging. I mean, let's be honest. Who knows what details will emerge or won't emerge from the story? You hope it's not a further escalation in the Middle East, but clearly a coordinated attack, and the timing is right with the Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, in Iran. Of course, you had Iran threatening to blow up tankers in that Gulf just a few months ago. And speaking of Iran, since we're on it, another odd story today. Twitter deletes thousands of accounts tied to Iran, seeks to end false info campaigns. Now, the way they describe this story, it doesn't really make sense to me. And they're kind of using this whole thing of, oh, it's troll farms. They're going after Russian troll farms, Iranian troll farms. Well, I'm going to wait and see the results, because I have a feeling that on Twitter, thanks to Iran, their government, coordinating with Twitter, I have a feeling that you will no longer be seeing the, what is it, White Wednesday protest videos. Is it called White Wednesday? I don't know why I always forget it. The White Wednesday protest videos of Iranian women removing their hijabs as a symbol, which was going viral, as a symbol to the rest of the world that Iranian women were going to stand against the female oppression that they endure in Iran, in Muslim nations that force women to wear the hijab. And so we're just showing you all these videos right now. For the hashtag White Wednesdays. You can look into it for yourself. I have a feeling this is really what is behind those Twitter accounts being banned. is that they were propping up and boosting those videos and that hashtag. And so they want to stymie that. They want to stop that. The Iranian government wants to stop that. Twitter will work with the Iranian government. Won't work with Trump. So we'll have to monitor that. I know that my producer, Savannah, monitors this. So if she notices a lot less videos, then that's probably what the case is going to be. I haven't really been monitoring that closely. I catch it every once in a while. But I have a feeling that that's what's really behind this, because I don't trust anything that Twitter says when it comes to all the censorship they engage in. They're known liars about that. So that's all going on. Tons of news to get to. But again, we're going to open up the phone lines with Matt Bracken. We'll just do that in the next segment. So Matt Bracken is going to join us. I'll give out the phone number, and we will start taking your calls coming up in the next segment. But plenty of news to get to here in the next 3 hours on this, what is it, Thursday? I can't even keep track of the days anymore. It's so insane these days. But we're going to get to all your calls coming up. Folks, I have been in the field 3 times this week. I've been on the Alex Jones Show. I've hosted the War Room every day. And I am thankful that I have a platform to put my news coverage out there and reach millions of people. I was banned on my YouTube channel as it was getting more popular. I was banned. All War Room stuff, everything we do with this show is banned on YouTube, which was like probably our biggest audience. That all gets banned. Facebook bans us. I can't even be on Facebook either. Anything War Room, banned off Facebook. Twitter, War Room's not allowed. I'm allowed individually on there, and I have to be careful about what I put, but who knows how long that may last. So I want to thank the audience for allowing me a platform to broadcast my work and to come on here live 3 hours a day and just be loud and obnoxious in my news coverage. But if it wasn't for your support at InfoWarsStore.com, I'm not sure where I'd go. I don't know what my platform would be. And we obviously know the impact the censorship has had, but thanks to your support at InfoWarsStore.com, we can just remain steadfast and just lower our heads and just keep bulldozing forward. We've got a brand new special. This is pretty neat, actually. You get a free Ultra 12 when you purchase the 8-pack power stack at InfoWarsStore.com. Now, we introduced the 8-pack power stack at 50% off. I think we're still running that. Yeah, we're still. This special is ridiculous. So we're still running the 8-pack power stack at 50% off. That's $60. This supplement routine that we've put together, this supplement pack that we put together for an AM and a PM supplement routine, competing brands or competing products will cost you up to $200. It's on sale for $60 at InfoWarsStore.com, the 8-pack power stack. But right now, you can get a free Ultra 12 with your 8-pack power stack. So this is the most ridiculous. I'm telling you, if you're somebody that wants to just get started with supplementing, or maybe you're just looking for something to kind of give you something, an extra edge during the day so that you can make it to the gym, this is the combo for you. Not just the 8-pack power stack, but the Ultra 12 will allow you to recover a lot faster from an unfamiliar physical activity than you would without the Ultra 12. So that's on sale right now at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
U.S. has officially blamed Iran for the torpedo attack on the oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. What does this mean for tensions worldwide? What does this mean for relations with the U.S. and Iran? You know, it's honestly insane being a news reporter these days.
You know, because the situation in Venezuela hasn't gotten any better. And so that's probably going to flare up again. China building islands and militarizing them in the South China Sea. I mean, folks, this is ridiculous. The deep state against the ropes in the West. In Venezuela right now, the morgues are so filled, morticians are literally telling families to just take the dead bodies home. But right now, the focus is in Iran or on Iran with the two oil tankers exploded. So Matt Bracken joins me. He's going to be with me for at least the next hour. We're going to be taking your phone calls. If you guys want to go ahead and open up the phone lines, 888-201-2244. Matt, the U.S. has officially come out and blamed Iran. Iran, I don't believe, has come out and said it was us or our torpedo. But what does this mean for tensions in the Middle East? And what does this mean for worldwide international relations? Matt Bracken from enemiesforeignanddomestic.com.
Well, I'll tell you what, Europe is way more screwed than we are because we're energy independent. Trump could tell Angela Merkel, go send the German aircraft carriers to keep the Straits of Hormuz open. You know, we don't really give a damn because we've got our own oil now. So in terms of being the world's policeman and keeping the sea lanes open, I guess that's still by default an American job. But it's not like it was 30, 40 years ago when we were getting a third of our oil from through there. Now we're not. And I think that Iran is escalating intentionally. They're trying to goad us into a big military operation, and then they're going to unleash sleeper cells in the West as their escalation. In 1988, that ended what was called the tanker war, which went on in the middle of the 80s. They were, Iran, for sure, Iran, was dropping mines into the Persian Gulf. Eventually, one of our frigates hit a mine and almost sank. And we responded by sinking half of the Iranian Navy and wrecking their military ports. At that time, they had no response that they could make. They were impotent. But you can imagine how that would sting if your Navy was just taken out like that. And since then, they've been preparing for what would happen the next time that they get into this kind of a face-off with Uncle Sam. And a lot's changed. For one thing, they've got sleeper cells all over the place. They just found tons, I mean, like a crap load of tons of explosives in England that are Hezbollah demo. It's unbelievable. This isn't a big story. So I think that the plan is goad the West into a big retaliatory military strike and then unleash fourth generation warfare against us in the West using sleeper cells and other means. And it's also important to realize another thing that they didn't have in 1988. Now they've got thousands of Chinese hypersonic sea-skimming anti-ship missiles that are truck-mounted, mobile. And they're not giant trucks like the Scuds missiles of Persian Gulf War. These are small trucks, like 40-foot-long trucks that carry one or two missiles on them. And they can be all over that Straits of Hormuz region. People need to look at a map to seriously understand how risky that place is. On the western side, the Saudi Arabian side, it thrusts like a dagger up towards the northeast. The Iranian side forms a complete hairpin bend all the way around. So ships leaving have to be literally under the guns, so to speak, of Iran for a very long distance. And it's rough terrain. So they can hide mobile-launched anti-ship missiles in there, and there's really nothing we can do to stop it short of landing a major amphibious force to take them out cave by cave. We can't do it just by, like, sending in an aircraft carrier and knocking out 1,000 truck-launched missiles that are hiding in caves. It's not possible. So, you know, I think that Iran's in a much stronger position. And it's important to realize that they have an apocalyptic vision. I was just looking at some news that was business related, and they're saying, like, Iran has nothing to gain and no advantage from a war. It's like, yeah, that they're applying Wall Street logic to mullahs with an apocalyptic vision that have been harboring a grudge against America, you know, going back to the 70s, that think that, you know, this is the chapter where they're going to escalate it and they're going to take the war to us. And I mean, in ways such as attacking our power grid, truck bombs in our capitals with these, you know, sleeper cells. They're going to take it to us this time.
But let's so tie let's tie that to these oil tanker explosions, because who benefits from this? I mean, it's the classic kibono question. Why and who would want to blow up these oil tankers, and for what reason? You think it's just to try to start a larger conflict, or is there a reason why these oil tankers were targeted?
No, I think that it's part of a larger pattern. And Pompeo, you know, I think he's a straight shooter as far as I can tell, unlike, say, a Bolton and others. He laid out the list of, like, in the last month, you know, drone attacks against pipelines, missile attacks against airline terminals. You know, there have been a near miss of a missile against an American embassy. So what they're trying to do is, at a low level, short of like declaring war on America, obviously they're not going to do that, just keep kicking us in the shins, you know, under the radar, so to speak, not announcing that they're doing it until we go and do an attack like the 1988 Operation Praying Mantis, when we finally had had enough and we took out their Navy, just annihilated it. But this time, they'll have a response. In 1988, all they could do was suck it up and take it. This time, they're going to have a response. Sleeper cells in the West, as well as you know, these sea-skimming missiles arrayed all the way around the Straits of Hormuz. They close the Straits of Hormuz, the Western economies immediately begin to go into a depression. I mean, Germany, that's where they get their oil. You know, they're in Russia. So Germany will be between Russia and, you know, out of oil from the Straits of Hormuz and begging Russia for fuel. I mean, what position Europe is going to be in is terrible. And thank God we're energy independent, at least this time. Gives us more options.
Well, we'll see what happens in the upcoming days here. We've already seen oil prices go up here in the West, not near as much as they will in Europe, I'm sure. Matt Bracken is with us. We're going to open up the phone lines for your calls on this issue when we come back from this break. Please, folks, don't forget to support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's how everything we do here is possible. On a side note, it's just been announced that Sarah Sanders will be leaving the White House, her position, at the end of the month. Maybe Alex Jones should be the next press secretary.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. Trigger warning. This broadcast contains subject matter that might trigger liberal snowflakes. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
All right, Matt Bracken wants to break down what happened to these ships with his expertise here in this segment, and then we'll get to your calls. So Matt has a video he wants to air here, and I'm going to let Matt explain this. Matt Bracken from enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Matt, you don't believe this was a torpedo strike, and you think that this was an amphibious operation that went down. And so what is this video that you're going to air here, and tell the audience what you think really happened?
Yeah, this is just kind of stock footage, like a, you know, stuff that's been unclassified for decades, of Navy SEALs using a swimmer delivery vehicle to put out frogmen to do a limpet mine attack. So you have a frogman can go close distance and get like right amongst ships in a harbor and put mines that attach with magnets onto ships, magnets or other means. But what they can't do is, you know, swim for 50 miles. So you need an intermediate craft to carry them, you know, right to the target, underneath the target. And that's what a swimmer delivery vehicle is. In the U.S. Navy, they're defined as a wet submersible, meaning that there's a fairing on the outside of this little boat run by electric motors so that it can zoom through the water efficiently. But the guys inside are not in an air environment, you know, an ambient or a pressurized air environment. They're inside of a wet environment, breathing, you know, scuba. When they're close to the target, they can switch to scuba that doesn't make any bubbles at all. And the swimmer delivery vehicle is made of composite, you know, fiberglass, carbon fiber, what have you. So it doesn't have and nothing ferrous, no iron. So it's got a very stealthy signature. I mean, these have been going back to the 60s and 70s. And what my point is, it takes a state-level actor to pull something like this off, especially in a place that's got very flat water. There's better than a half moon up, which means it's like twilight out there. It's not pitch dark in a North Sea. This is like flat water and moonlit. So they've got to have a very stealthy approach. The reason I say it's not torpedoes is a couple reasons. Some of the hits were above the waterline in that they wanted the fuel to flow out and burn. So you can set a limpet mine that will breach the hull and then next to it have another mine with a combustible material, you know, magnesium mine, so that as the fuel gushes out, it's going to be ignited. If you just used a torpedo, number one, that big iron submarine under the water in the Persian Gulf is like a sticking out like a sore thumb. The Iranians try to drive around the Persian Gulf in their submarines, big submarines, to launch a torpedo. They're going to be seen. It's got a huge signature. But because of the shallowness and confines and close distances in the Persian Gulf, it's very easy to do a swimmer delivery vehicle attack. You know, get that 50 miles, launch from a commercial vessel 10 or 20 miles away from the target with the swimmer delivery vehicle, and then put the frogmen under the ship. And I think that's what happened. They say they even found a limpet mine attached to a ship, which is par for the course. One didn't go off.
Yeah, that was the unexploded one, right? Yeah.
Right. So it's not torpedoes. And you know, this tells me that it's not the Saudis, because they don't have people that can do this unless they hired ex-military from Britain or America. Certainly Israel could do it, but they'd need a submarine or some other means. In the Persian Gulf, it's a small area. You know, Occam's razor says, yes, this is Iran. They're trying to escalate with a series of small kicks to goad us into a 1988 style or level Operation Praying Mantis 2, where then they have a justification to go on a general attack against the West, attack our power grid, assassinate officials, etc. They've been planning for this a long time. And the other thing that they didn't have in 1988 were all of these hypersonic sea-skimming anti-ship missiles that are on trucks, mobile, with caves to hide in, that are ringing the entire Strait of Hormuz on the Iran side. So they can literally launch a sleeper attack against the Strait of Hormuz that's impossible to stop. And what I mean is, if you have 1,000, just using a round number, could be more, 1,000 Chinese ship-killing missiles on trucks, you give the crews of these trucks the orders that no matter what, you're going to follow this order. No matter what you hear on the radio, this order cannot and will not be countermanded. If it's countermanded, it's either an American lie or it's a traitor who surrendered. So your order is for your missile, wait for 30 days, then go out and find anything in the Strait of Hormuz and attack it. And another group, their order will be wait 60 days or 55 days. So the only way to open the Straits of Hormuz then will be a major land-based amphibious operation, which we don't have the forces for, frankly, where we're going to go in and put boots on the ground all around the Straits of Hormuz. And Okinawa or Iwo Jima style, we're going to go cave by cave through these ravines, trying to stop all of these trucks before they come out and launch on the Straits of Hormuz. So they've been, ever since 1988, they have felt that slap on their face. And they've been determined that the next time this happens, they're going to have their own other options, not only really shutting down the Straits of Hormuz with anti-ship missiles and mines, but also, I'm convinced, sleeper cells in the West, you know, targeting our power grid, et cetera. That's what I think is coming.
Well, and
anyway,
I mean, you think about the sleeper cells. I mean, there's the political reasons for it. You know, there's wars going on in the Middle East as well, and we have a wide open border. So, I mean, they could be bringing in sleeper cells. They could be bringing in sleeper cells literally as we speak right now. That is, if they haven't brought them in already. So let's kind of boil this
down.
Yeah,
they're sophisticated. They're very sophisticated. It would not be beyond their capability to go to Congo and scoop up some Ebola bloody sheets, stick them in a bag, and use that as an attack vector. I mean, these are not stupid people.
Ebola is now spreading throughout Africa. It's now gotten out of the Congo into Angola, I think Uganda. I mean,
if you have a jihadist who has a good high level guy like the shoe bomber that's got a visa to get to America, all you've got to do is infect him with Ebola and put him on an airplane.
Matt, honestly, when it comes to the open border news, I'm getting so much intel. It's ridiculous. Like, I have to strip mine through all of it. And just to decide what the gold is that I can produce. But it's just it's insane. I mean, I'm getting told that they're not even testing some of these people arriving from Africa because they don't have the resources. They don't have the means. And then they have to release them into the public 1,000 a day. I mean, I'm telling you, man, I don't know if you get the same intel that we get, and you do great work over at enemiesforeignanddomestic.com, but Border Patrol people down at the border, people that work for ICE, I mean, I'm getting just swooned. With all of this intel, they're saying they're not testing them. They're releasing them all. They're coming from here. They're coming from here. Here's this tent city here. They're dying on the way. I can't even get through it. I can't even fetter through it to figure out what's going on.
When you put family units into these holding detention camps for 20 days, it's a perfect, cross-contamination incubation center where – the five that might have come in contaminated can infect, the other 500. And after their 20 days are up, they're being released, put on buses by, so-called charity groups paid for by George Soros and delivered to all 50 states. It's just almost the worst case
scenario. And it's crazy. And then they say, oh, my gosh, you're racist if you want to have a border. You're racist if you want to vet people. No, I have a survival instinct. I don't want terrorists coming in. I don't want disease coming in. It's out of control. All right, we're going to take your calls with Matt Bracken coming up on the other side of this break. Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
Info, or commentary rather, is beginning to come out regarding the attack on the oil tankers in the Gulf of Oman. So we're going to take some calls on this if you have questions for Matt Bracken. Right now here on the War Room, Matt is with us. Gulf of Oman, thank you, not Omar. And so it's worth mentioning again, though, one of the tankers was Japanese. Trump pretty much had sent Prime Minister of Japan, Shinzo Abe, to Iran to negotiate with Iranian leaders. And then this happens. I mean, who knows, folks, if we'll ever get any real details out about this. I'm just seeing all the commentary coming out, and it's just going to be another one of those situations where everybody's pointing the finger and nobody has an official answer. And it'll probably just end up blowing over, probably, too. It's how these things always seem to go. But hopefully this isn't a triggering event to something much larger. So your questions for Matt Bracken, let's go to the phone lines now. Max in Wisconsin, go ahead.
Hi, I have a suggestion for some bumper music and a question for Matt Bracken. For bumper music, I don't know if you heard the song Big O by Avia, A-V-I-V-A, called Rabbit Hole. So thought you would like it, especially more so you than Mr. Jones. But for Mr. Bracken, since he was in the military and he's very knowledgeable in that sector, and he's an older gentleman, no offense, that not in a bad way, that you know, the U.S. has spent like $21 trillion in space. How come in 2020 we can't just see a recording? I mean, we've taken pictures of black holes even. Like, or am I just kind of more in sci-fi realm? Even though the Raytheon, ex-Raytheon guy said, you know, everything in sci-fi has already been developed. Go ahead, Mr. Bracken.
Yeah, as far as like this being a torpedo attack, I say that the first wrong information usually gets repeated over and over again. I go back to the Beltway Sniper when somebody said, I saw a white man in a white van. Well, that became the story for like 2 weeks. And it was two black guys in a sedan. The first wrong story just takes on a life. A submarine in the Persian Gulf is in a very tough environment because it's very flat, calm water, and it's very shallow. So there are technical means, not only with things planted on the bottom to listen and detect magnetic signatures, but even from space, the bulge of water, especially in shallow water, that bulge of water as a submarine's passing by, it might as well be on the surface. That's why I think that it was a small craft, like a swimmer delivery vehicle. It dropped out of a smaller commercial or fishing vessel for like the last, you know, 5 or 10 mile run. As far as the hitting a Japanese ship, they might not have even known or cared what the flag of the ship they were hitting. You know, they're dealing with a half moon underwater. They've been planning this for weeks. And when you finally get, this is the night we're going to attack, they're not going to say, oh, a Japanese ship just dropped anchor. Let's move the attack up or let's call off the attack.
Oil tankers have a pretty, you know, recognizable signature as far as, you know, sitting under it underwater.
It's going to say go out and attack two or three oil tankers. Since I've been thinking about it, in order to ignite that fuel pouring out of the ship, they had to have swimmers in the water at the waterline, lifting the limpet mine up, putting it on to breach the hull. Well, that just makes a jet of crude oil polluting the water. In order for that thing to ignite, because if you throw a match into that, it's just going to go out. You'd have to put like a pair of thermite limpet mines on either side, like a meter away from the breaching charge, so that as the oil's pouring out, this extremely hot thermite is burning, and this means that they would have to practice this somewhere in the desert or somewhere to know what does it take to ignite a stream of petroleum falling into the salt water. It's not something that you're just going to pull out of your butt, you know, with a couple knuckleheads. This is state level. This is like, you know, would require people with sophistication. And Occam's razor says, yeah, it's the Iranians. They're trying to kick us in the shin until we do a major retaliation. Then they launch a fourth generation warfare on us. Because remember, it's not just economic to them. This is religious. The people in charge have an apocalyptic vision. And they also see that their time might be running out in Iran, both for age reasons. They're getting old. Their people aren't supporting them. And a good war is a way, they think, to rally their people back to the cause.
Yeah, there's a... you could almost say a revolution happening in Iran. I don't know if it's reached that level yet, but the restart movement is trying to change a lot of the regime policies and the regime in general. You have the women taking off their hijabs as the White Wednesday movement that's gotten popular. So there is a lot going on there. Some people, let's just say, think this is a false flag and that there is someone else trying to get in between U.S.-Iranian relations. Again, false flags happen all the time. But right now, with the evidence and the clues that were given, all signs point to Iran, and the U.S. has now blamed Iran. Yeah. It's not good either way. Thanks for the call, Max. Let's go to Griffin in Illinois. Go ahead, Griffin.
I think it was an anti-ship missile.
Excuse me? Go ahead.
I think the attack on the tanker was an anti-ship missile, and then you had some of the submersible vehicles, not a submarine, but ones that can deploy divers to put mines under the ship.
Matt, would you like to respond?
Yeah, you're probably not going to do that because you want everything to be coming off this entire painting is going to come off of one pallet. If the airplane that's going to launch the missile is delayed or has a malfunction, and these frogmen are down there, you know, waiting around, you know, it's going to be frogmen that have, you know, a swimmer delivery vehicle loaded with limpet mines, and they put some, you know, to breach the hull and some to ignite the fuel. If you are waiting, you know, things that get too complex where you're going to depend on, you know, an aviation aspect and then also an undersea aspect all coming off at the same time, the complexity always kills it kind of an operation. This is just going to be the frogmen. And, you know, the Quds Force, the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps Quds Force, they've got their equivalents of SEALs. They've got their terrorists. They've got all kind of groups. And, you know, they, like all bureaucracies, when you train for, you know, decades to do something like swimmer attacks, the Iranian frogmen are leaning forward and gung-ho and saying, hell yeah, we can do it. We can do our part. You know, give us some tankers. We can catch them on fire. We can do it. And that gives sort of an impetus to that also. But I think this was a straight-up swimmer attack launched from swimmer delivery vehicles.
Anything else, Griffin?
Hey, I was commenting. You were also talking about missile weapon systems that could be deployed on land and fired off that were provided by the
Chinese. Against ships that are coming through the Straits of Hormuz. Once this thing goes to a war and we crush their navy again, they're not going to want that to be the end of the story like it was in 1988. They're going to want to go into a prolonged phase where they can bottle up the Straits of Hormuz by popping off one or two truck-launched anti-ship missiles that are currently hidden in caves and moving all around. Then we have no alternative because we can't stop that by looking for them from the air. The only way we'll be able to stop them, trucks with missiles hidden in caves, is to put boots on the ground. This is like a chess game. They've been thinking this out two and three moves ahead. Ever since 1988, when we smacked them down, they've been thinking about what would happen the next time. And, you know, remember, Persia and India is where chess started, a lot of people think. They're not stupid. They're crazy, but they're not stupid.
All right, Griffin, thank you so much for the call. Matt Bracken from Enemies Foreign and Domestic still with us. We'll take more of your calls with Matt on the other side. So, again, though, you had two oil tankers struck in the Strait of Hormuz, and you have fingers being pointed all around. The U.S. is blaming Iran. All the intelligence and details that we have and motives would point to Iran, as the Prime Minister of Japan is meeting with Iranian leaders at, you could say, the behest of Donald Trump, trying to improve U.S.-Iranian relations. So it's all tied together, ladies and gentlemen. There's no doubt about that. These things do not happen in isolated incidents. So we'll have more of your phone calls and Matt Bracken on the other side. Don't forget to go to InfoWarsStore.com during this break and support us so that we can get this news coverage out there while everyone else plays Kim Kardashian.
War Room. InfoWars.com/show. The fight for the future is now. This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at InfoWars.com/show.
Following some other commentary of the attack on the oil tankers in the Strait of Hormuz, Matt, it does seem that other people are agreeing with you, and the torpedo narrative is pretty much being destroyed by any military experts. Most people believe, like you believe, it was an amphibious attack, probably planned out for a long time in advance, and mines were used. Some people think maybe not a mine, maybe some form of an IED. I'm not the expert to respond on what the difference there or what that would mean. But, Matt, it does seem that other experts, other officers, intel people, military, Navy, are agreeing with you that this wasn't a torpedo and this was sort of some sort of amphibious attack. People saying IED, what would that mean?
Yeah, an improvised explosive device just means a homemade bomb.
What would that mean if that was the case? Like, if this was an IED,
That's somebody who doesn't know what they're talking about. This is a planned attack. Guys that have electric battery operated swimmer delivery vehicles aren't using something improvised. They've got a little factory churning out limpet mines, you know, by the hundreds, so that it's a magnetically attached mine. So it's a round mine that weighs 15 or 20 kilos with magnets on the bottom that you stick against the side of the ship and it just clamps on by magnetic force. It's another reason to put it at or above the waterline. Below the waterline, you might literally have 2 or 3 inches of barnacles and scum, and the magnets don't necessarily work as well. Above the waterline, it's going to definitely clamp on. And like I said, to detonate running petroleum, crude oil, you don't just throw a match at it. You've got to have something like a separate thermite mine, you know, thousands of degrees for 10 minutes to ensure that flow of oil ignites and stays lit. So this was well thought out. You know, I was thinking about the Japanese ship angle, and, you know, people will immediately start thinking, well, did they do it because it was a Japanese ship, or what happened? Sometimes history just has a sense of humor, and the things line up in a way that it's almost like the war's destined to happen, and whatever it takes, something's going to lead to it. I just remember the Serbian nationalist named Gavrilo Princip that shot Archduke Ferdinand. They had known that he was coming into town, went from a train to a car. They had like a half dozen assassins lined up on the route he was going to take with bombs and guns. They all missed. The grenades missed. The guys shot inaccurately. And the Archduke's car got away and took another route. And the assassins had quit. They had considered their attack plan to be a failure. And there's Gavrilo Princip sitting in a cafe, drinking a beer or a coffee or something, drowning his sorrows at a failed mission. And here comes Archduke Ferdinand's car, which got lost, right in front of him, stops right in front of his cafe, gets stuck in traffic. He jumps up with a pistol. The driver tries to put it in reverse, stalls the car, and Princip gets his shot off, kills Archduke Ferdinand, and World War I is ignited. And it was all a mistake because the big plan didn't work. But the car gave them a second chance, just drove right in front of the assassin who thought that the whole mission was off. So the Japanese tanker being struck, to me, almost seems like some kind of a poetic, like a destiny, like the wheels of history. It could have been a Liberian tanker or a Korean tanker. No, it's a Japanese tanker. And I don't think that the Iranians planning the mines even knew that or cared. But sometimes history has a sense of humor, and it's like destiny is just going to be assured one way or the other. And maybe that's what's playing out now. Because I see this escalating to us attacking Iran, and then Iran attacking us with fourth-generation warfare. That's what I think is coming.
That's what I think a lot of people are afraid of if this ends up being a Gulf of Tonkin incident, not to say it was a false flag, but to say that it could lead to a larger conflict. But by the way, Trump has been really busy today. He's been doing press conferences and speeches at the White House as part of a second chance program, dealing with the Sarah Sanders news. And, Kim Kardashian was at the White House, so everybody has to stop the presses for that. So we haven't even really heard from Trump on this. Ladies and gentlemen, if you go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and you get the brand new Space Force t-shirt, you guys pull that up for me. If you go to InfoWarsStore.com right now and you get the brand new Space Force t-shirt, I'm going to make a proclamation here. Here's what I'm going to say. We're going to need a new press secretary soon, as Sarah Sanders is about to leave her post. And so there's some names being tossed around, but let's just say a certain someone named he who shall not be named could have the inside track, but this individual is not interested, really. Of course, I'm talking about Alex Jones. He really doesn't want the press secretary position, folks. He really doesn't. But I'm going to make a proclamation. If we sell 10,000 Space Force t-shirts from InfoWarsStore.com, or how about this? If we sell, let's say, so Sarah Sanders is leaving at the end of the month. Okay, so at the end of the June, so you got 2 weeks. So let's say 20,000. If we sell 20,000 Space Force t-shirts at InfoWarsStore.com, Alex Jones will be the next press secretary. How about that? How about that? So, if you want to see Alex Jones as the next press secretary, go to InfoWarsStore.com and buy the Space Force t-shirt. And maybe we could get Alex to do it. Maybe he will actually petition for the job. Boy, wouldn't that be something. In all seriousness, though, folks, please take advantage of the specials at InfoWarsStore.com. We do have $10 off the brand new Space Force t-shirt. Put it on pre-order now. We still have 50% off DNA Force Plus, Brain Force Plus, Turbo Force, and Ultimate Female Force. And we have the brand new special, which is the 8-pack power stack with Ultra 12. But you get the 8-pack power stack, 50% off the brand new supplement pack that we have. And then you get a bottle of Ultra 12 for free with your purchase. So that's at InfoWarsStore.com, and your support makes everything we do here possible. Matt Bracken is on the air with us here for another segment or two, and we're taking your calls. So let's go back out to the phone lines with Matt Bracken here. Let's go to Alex calling in from New York. Go ahead, Alex.
Hey, Owen. Hey, Matt. I just have a quick statement. I listened to Alex's show earlier, and I listened to your show. I listened to Matt's assessment. And my thinking is, why haven't you all brought up the fact that this could have been something with relation to the PNAC document? Or let's go a little further. General Wesley Clark, he spoke about in an interview in 2007 about seven countries to be taken out: Iraq, Syria, Lebanon, Libya, Somalia, Sudan, and Iran. This could be a continuation of that plan. So for you all to immediately point the fingers at Iran just seems to be too simplistic. The Occam's razor is too simplistic to put to this right now.
Matt?
Hello?
Yeah, I think that you're overthinking in that we look at everything through our own lens. Oh, yeah. Some American general 10 years ago said something somewhere. Therefore, that must connect somehow, extrapolated into the future, to some devious false flag operation against Iran. Believe me, Iran sees itself as an ancient empire, going back even before Muhammad, although the mullahs don't like to think too much about that. The Iranians do. They have their own destiny, and I don't think they've heard of General Wesley Clark or give a damn what he wrote in some paper 10 or 15 years ago. You know, and the idea that America is such an omniscient power now that we're like, you know, able to overturn countries all over the place. America is a declining empire, you know, on the verge of collapse in many respects. Our military, in many respects, is a hollow shell. Yeah, we have a lot of fancy gadgets and toys, and some special operations forces that are you know, as good as any in the world. But beyond that, if it came to you know, matching hundreds of thousands of troops on the ground in a traditional war where the electronic slate is wiped clean by, say, modern EMP weapons, and it's just down to rifles and cannons, we're not in any position to do that. The America that fought in World War II and Korea, that military force doesn't exist. So the Persian, the Iranian chess players that got checkmated in 1988, they look today and say, all right, if there's going to be a clash with the great Satan again in the future, we're never going to be in a position to be checkmated, because our power that we exerted in the Persian Gulf, namely dropping sea mines off of ships, et cetera, leading to our Navy being sunk, annihilated, that's never going to happen again. If it happens again, we're not just going to have bishops and kings, we're going to have rooks and queens that are waiting and hidden. And those, for example, are those anti-ship missiles ringing, you know, hundreds of kilometers around the Straits of Hormuz on trucks hidden in caves. So I think that they are deliberately
Let's wait and see on that. But I will say this, because I'm thinking about Alex's comment here. And I will say, and I want to get your expertise on this, Matt, how is it, though? I mean, really, how is it that they were able to get away with this? I mean, these oil tankers have to have some level of security. I'm sure they have radar. I'm sure that there's other ships and stuff out in the sea that would notice something. I mean, really, though, is it that easy to just go up under a boat and blow it up?
It sure is. In my time in SEAL teams, we would have missions against ships in American harbors. And, of course, you know, the Starlight technology they had then was not as good as it is today, but it doesn't matter because we're underwater and we're not making any bubbles. So we tell them between 11 o'clock and midnight, SEALs are going to attack your ship. Have all your crew on the side of the ship with binoculars and Starlight scopes looking at the water. You know, put microphones in the water, spotlights, we don't care. Between 11 o'clock and midnight, SEALs are going to attack your ship. They never stopped us. The limpet mines that we had, instead of an explosive, the little charge would kick out some chem lights so that chem lights would float up to the surface. We would go into an American port when they know we're coming. They're looking. We would put limpet mines on their ships, in this case, below the waterline, swim away, get away, and, you know, half an hour later, there's all the chem lights floating up they never caught us. This is a very difficult thing to detect. The only way you can do it today is in a port with all kind of sensors and microphones and other technical devices. But if you're talking about ships that just drop anchor and wait for a few days, they're sitting ducks. I mean, they are like the easiest frogman target in the world.
That's amazing to me, because, I mean, these people will hire private security detail and teams and militaries to protect their pipelines, but then they just let their oil sit out there.
Well, think about it another way. Until Maersk, Alabama, and some other famous incidents, the same oil companies refused to have any guns on their ships that were going through, around Somalia. They would rather just take the insurance hit until it became too heavy. So they had unarmed ships because it was too much of a hassle clearing in and out of different ports with guns. So yeah, they are pretty dumb. So they're always going to be behind the curve. But a frogman attack against an anchored oil tanker and with a half moon, that means that the little mini submersible can come up to the surface, get a good look, and then back down it goes. You're never going to spot it. You're never going to stop it. Never.
All right, Alex, thank you for the call. We will be right back with Matt Bracken from enemiesforeignanddomestic.com, taking your calls on the incident in Iran. Or was it Iran that bombed/put mines on the tankers? We'll be right back.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
Final segment with Matt Bracken, so I'm going to go back to your calls for Matt before he departs. Let's go ahead and get right back out there to Pastor Sam, who's calling in from Mexico today. Go ahead, Pastor Sam.
I want to say how much I appreciate Matt Bracken's commentary from somebody who's really got a trident and who's going to break down a military attack, how it really happened, and just cut through all the BS for us. In fact, I have my own theory, Matt, that it was you that left the shot glass on Chris Kyle's gravestone. But we'll never know because, like you say, you were never caught. my comment here for today is that there are military attacks coming, that this fourth generation warfare, when it arrives, it's going to be ugly. It's going to touch every person. This Antifa, they're cannon fodder. It's understood by both sides that they're not the reality that we're up against. We're going to be up against special forces that are attacking in the United States. We've had three Houston refineries explode and catch on fire this year. It's not an accident. These are Cuban-trained, Iranian-trained. All over the world, there are special forces, and they're embedded here in America. And I think we as Americans need to be prepared for those type of attacks, not only in the natural, but spiritually as well. The verse of the day for today is out of Judges 20. And believe it or not, what happened in Judges 20 is the Patriots went out to protest the gay pride event. And in that, a woman was raped to death. And so it broke out into open conflict. And when that happened, the Lord did not go out with the armies. And the gay pride and the Antifa cut down thousands of them to the ground in two separate battles. Until they came to a place of repentance, the story's all in Judges 20 and verse 26, where the people came and humbled themselves. So I'd just like to speak to the Patriots today and say, make your peace with God. You're up against professionals. You're up against witches. You're up against sorcerers. And it is time to not go into battle with our pants down. Let's humble ourselves before God and repent.
Yeah, and you're echoing what Vladimir Putin just said, I think it was two or three days ago, basically saying, look, you know, we're getting closer to a nuclear war. Putin said today U.S.-Russia relations are worse potentially than ever. Yeah, there's your Russian collusion. I mean, what a joke. You know, I don't want to get off on this whole Russian collusion thing, but I mean, just what an unbelievable joke that is, that here we are potentially looking at a war with Russia. I mean, if we go to war with Iran, Russia is not going to be our ally in that war. That all signs point to that right now. So what would you think about a larger conflict, you know, Matt, and how bad it could get? I mean, Putin basically said, get right with God. It could get bad. I mean, obviously get right with God. But do you think we could be looking at something getting so out of hand?
Definitely. But I think that what we're going to see is not a nuclear escalation. I mean, eventually, but what Pastor Sam was just saying, there are these special forces trained, you know, plants all around the West, and we're extremely vulnerable. You know, all it takes is wire cutters to cut through chain link fence, and you can do to a giant fuel farm what they did to those oil tankers. You know, put a breaching device on the tank, and it's like the chemical plants. I think that the Metcalf attack a couple years ago in California was a test. You know, they can do that once. They could do it 30 times in one night and put the power out across a lot of America. You know, the people we're up against aren't stupid. They're not going to try to fight our Navy with their Navy. They've tried that before. They know it won't turn out well. You know, they're not going to go their weakness against our strength. They're going to go their strength against our weakness. And our weakness is here at home. If you know, you don't need to drop a nuke on an American city. All you have to do is cut off its power, and it'll burn itself down.
Or there's all kinds of different things, you know, terrorism, biological warfare. They have the open borders. And, you know, I'm thinking about this last night, Matt, and I almost put this out in a tweet because, look, I mean, I support Trump. You know, I voted for Trump. I'll probably vote for him again. But, I mean, my goodness, we've got a wide open border, and everybody wants to sit here and bitch and complain about Barack Obama. Fine. Let's say Barack Obama was working for Iran, and let's say Barack Obama even had open borders so they could sneak in sleeper cells. Maybe it's true, maybe it's not. The border situation is worse under President Trump. I'm sorry to say. We've got more people illegally crossing the border now than ever. Now, is that an agenda to try to destroy him and destroy America while he's in? Possibly, but he's not doing anything about it. I mean, I'm sorry to go off on this jag again, Matt, but it's like, yeah, if we're about to go to war with Iran and we're not even protecting our borders, that is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my life. If you're about to go to war with anyone, we're bombing eight countries at any given time in the Middle East. We don't even protect our borders. They could be sneaking in every day. I mean, what is it going to take for the president to understand this dire situation here?
Yeah, and protecting the border is the U.S. military's job number one. And it's right in the Constitution, Article 4, Section 4, that the U.S. government will protect the states against invasion. You know, if thousands a day isn't an invasion, I don't know what it is. I mean, the military should be on the border, unrolling concertina wire, and just preventing people from coming in. We did it last November in San Diego when they tried to rush the border. We shot pepper spray at them and turned them back. But somehow we got soft after that and we stopped doing that. And we just now roll up the welcome wagon, bring them in and disperse them through the country. I mean, I think that Trump should go on television, make an address and say, we can't do that anymore. And then it becomes Mexico's problem. When all of these people are backed up in the top, the top miles of Mexico, then there's refugee camps in Mexico. Then Mexico has an incentive to stop them. As long as they're just an open turnstile into America, the deal or no deal, Mexico's not has no real incentive to stop the caravans when there's an open turnstile at our border. I mean, that's the president's job. He can do that.
And meanwhile, you have all these Democrats calling for socialism. Who do you think those programs are for? The millions of people that come into this country illegally that have no prospects, no job, bad health. I mean, nothing. They come here with nothing. And they say, oh, this is the land of immigrants. Yeah. When immigrants came to this country, there wasn't a welfare state. They didn't get three meals a day, a roof over their head, and a visit to the doctor. I'm sorry. I'm just so sick of this open border crap. Yeah, and this was Trump's number one issue.
Every illegal alien requires a platoon of government social workers, criminalists, medical people, educators. A platoon of government workers are required for every illegal alien. And the Democrats know eventually down the road they'll be voting Democrat. So, yeah, the Democrats have no reason to turn off the flow. They see themselves winning. The Democrat plan is California times 50. What they did to California, they are exporting to all 50 states, and that is permanent Democrat one-party rule.
It's unbelievable. They just showed the numbers. PJ Media covered it. Again, folks, I support Trump, but, like, you can't deny the truth. It's worse under Trump than it was under Obama. 100 times. It's not even close. Why the hell is that? Matt Bracken, enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Thanks for joining me here today on short notice. Great, excellent breakdown, folks. I'm sorry to the callers that called in for Matt, but we'll still take your call on the other side. But Matt's got to go. Enemiesforeignanddomestic.com. Check out his books. All his commentary is there. Thanks again, Matt. All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're going to get to your calls. I've got Dennis and Richard and Mike and everybody coming up here. Mike's in Germany. We'll take you first, Mike. InfoWarsStore.com is how you support us.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show. Making talk radio great again. It's The War Room with Owen Schroyer. Watch the live stream at InfoWars.com/show.
You know, the crew was asking me, why do you seem so distressed during the breaks? Because normally I'm just as intense during the breaks, getting new information, and I'm constantly making the crew print stories and pulling videos. Half the time I don't even get to it. But let me explain something. There's two things that really suck to cover more than anything in lifetime. I mean, walking into you in an Ebola relocation center is no fun either, but in real time doing live coverage, school shootings, and when there's big events like this that could lead to war. Because here's the thing. I know how wars work. I've studied false flags, and I'm basically just left at the behest of who's ever providing intelligence and then whatever background research I can use to apply to the situation. But it's like this. Yeah, it looks like it's Iran. Everybody thinks it's Iran. Everybody's blaming Iran. But at the same time, I don't want to be that person that just goes with a narrative or just goes with something that leads to a further war. So, and of course you have the typical people saying, what? It was the Jews. So, like, I mean, what the hell, man? Everybody always points the finger at the same people. And what happens? The U.S. gets raped every time financially. So here's my thing. Like, legitimately, though, they had this whole thing like, oh, you know, Trump would be an isolationist. I'm not even kidding you. It's time for us to be an isolationist country because this is ridiculous now. We're looking at potentially getting involved in a further war. We're going to almost be at $1 trillion in deficit. I've got the story right here. Federal spending tops $3 trillion through May for the first time ever. Deficit hits $738 billion. What is our debt up now? $22 trillion? We got the live debt clock. Now, I've got people coming out like Bernie Sanders and Cortez. I've got a clip of a Denver city council saying we're going to have communism by any means necessary. So you say, well, what the hell's going on here? Why are we in all this debt? Why do we have politicians calling for socialism? How is this going to work when we're in all this debt and then we're bringing all these people over here to live off the welfare state? Seriously, honestly, if America really wants to last another 200 years, we have to close our borders tomorrow and we have to bring all of our troops home tomorrow, period. Otherwise, this country is doomed. It's doomed unless we somehow change our monetary system overnight. That's not going to happen. So we continue to go into more debt. Why? Because we bring people in and we pay for them to have a life here and they have no prospects. They offer nothing to our country. They don't pay taxes. Americans pay more taxes. They get more poor. Then you have people saying we need to have socialism here so that everybody can have a standard of living. But wait a second. What is the most expensive thing on our tab that sends us into debt? Military spending. So we're going to be out fighting all the world's wars. We're going to be fighting all these wars, never-ending wars. Meanwhile, we go into more debt. Then they say we want socialism in America. We can't afford it. Why? Because we're too busy fighting wars thousands of miles away. Not to say I wouldn't want socialism anyway, but you know what? Maybe if we didn't spend trillions of dollars overseas every year, I bet we could actually do it. But you notice that they don't use that as a talking point. They just say we need socialism, America bad. So I just sit here and I just see all the signs of another conflict expanding in the Middle East, where America gets crushed financially and we have to pay for the whole damn thing. I mean, it's a joke. It's a joke. It's a joke. And they sit there saying, yeah, well, Trump's not doing anything about it. Trump is one man against an entire infrastructure of corruption who has reversed so much of what's bad for this country. My goodness. And just look at his enemies. But I'll tell you right now, if Trump takes this bait, whoever did this attack, whether it was Iran, whether you want to say it was the Jews, whoever it was, the globalist, maybe you'll say the Americans did it. People, I'm already seeing all this commentary out there. It's bait. Whoever did it, it's bait. And if we take the bait and we launch a bigger war, it's over, ladies and gentlemen. Russia's not going to take it. Russia will go against the United States because they're sick of our expanded wars overseas as well. They've said so. And that will naturally put them in bed with China, who's our intellectual, financial enemy. And of course, Iran will be right there too, to flex its muscle in the Middle East. So that's the situation we're looking at. I don't want any of that. I don't want our troops to deal with any of that. I don't want to deal with any of that. I'm sick of all of it. We don't need the oil. We don't need the conflict. We don't need the war. But I guess somebody does, don't they? I guess somebody somewhere needs that war, don't they? You know what? I'm sorry. I feel bad. I forgot. We've got a caller waiting in Germany. So let's go to Mike in Germany who wants to talk about this. Go ahead, Mike.
Hi, can you hear me, Aaron?
Yes, thank you for calling today.
Hey, that's fine. Listen, I've been listening on this report. I mean, I'm getting so much conflicting evidence. One from Ron Paul, basically talking about three straight weeks, saying it's all basically indicated the false flag, We're going to be suckered into another war. Then, I mean, I'm getting conflicting information then. It was like, why would they do a false flag now? Especially because I have friends from Iran living with me here in Germany. They basically say, listen, the inflation is so high. If we start a war with the U.S., it's just going to ramp up the inflation. And people are already really, really poor in Iran. So that the situation is going to get worse. Now, my theory of this is, I think Ron Paul brought this up in a couple of his discussions. It's like, even Mossad says, Iran doesn't have nuclear weapons. They released certain files. They say they're not enriching any plutonium, any weapons-grade plutonium. And then you have all the Hillary Clinton emails where they basically say we need to topple Assad so that we can get to Iran for Israel. Now, I'm not blaming any Jews right here, but, the government of Israel, it doesn't represent the nation, the people, you know.
I'm no fan of Netanyahu, so don't feel bad. I mean, people get so afraid, you can't bash the Jews. No, I'm just not. I just call things as I see them.
No, sure. And then you have Gary Hart a couple of years ago, I think under the Obama administration, he says, what I was tongue-in-cheek saying was that we have an administration in Washington that is dying for a reason to bomb Iran. Now, what the problem is if America gets sucked into a war, like you said, going to blow out the deficit, just going to create another conflict in the Middle East, and the only thing that's going to happen is Europe is going to get soaked up with more refugees coming from Iran. I just checked, the population is 80 million. If just 10% of those come to Europe and then we have the same shit all over again, this place will look like a crap hole. Seriously, we already have a problem with the Syrian and the Turkish people living here. You get what I'm saying?
Yeah, Mike, look, I feel bad because you're calling in from Germany and I didn't take your call till late. So why don't you... Can you want to hold over and finish this topic of discussion here on the other side of this break? Please feel more than welcome to.
Sure.
Okay. Look, I don't trust Netanyahu. Netanyahu, what was it, just a year ago, tried to start a war with Iran, and he did some press conference, and he pulls out a bunch of CD-ROMs see, Iran's enriching plutonium. They're trying to build nukes to kill us. And again, here's my thing. I don't know what the hell's going on. I don't trust any of them, okay? I don't trust any of them. So I'd say get the hell out. Come back to USA. Let's fix things here, please.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
We've got Mike on the line from Germany. I wanted him to finish his comments here. And we're just discussing what happened in the Gulf of Oman with the oil tankers exploding and what it could possibly mean. The whole world, I think, is sick of war. But the military-industrial complex will never be sick of it. And weapons manufacturers like Raytheon and its stockholders, I don't think they oppose it either. So... man, I don't want to see a larger conflict here, but it doesn't look good. So let's get the final take from Mike in Germany on what's going on.
Hey, Aaron, you hear me?
Yep.
All right. What I was trying to get at was, how do you think this ties in with Albert Pike's letter on the three world wars, where at the end of the third war, basically, what the point of the war is to get Christians, Muslims, and Jews to fight each other in a final death match. So, this is kind of less geopolitical and more a theological, religious debate or whatnot. But nonetheless, I mean, if you manage to destroy Iran, if a war just comes to Iran, sure, their economy is crippled, and if the country cracks, it is a potential to sow even more chaos in the Middle East and in Europe. As we've seen in the last 5 years with the Muslims in Paris, in London,
the knife attacks, the gangs, grooming gangs, the pedophilic gangs. And imagine just absorbing 8 to 10 times more migrants just coming from Iran and all the and those regions.
Well, and think about this too. This is kind of off base, but it ties into what you're saying, because look, the U.S. is taking millions of people, literally. Okay, these are basically illegal immigrants.
1 million, 2 million people a year.
And so it's like this. Here's what I'm sick of. You got all these countries in the Middle East and North Africa that sit here and bitch about the Jews and Israel, which is a tiny little piece of land. I mean, it's like the smallest country in the Middle East almost. And they sit here and they bitch and whine about Israel all day. Meanwhile, Iran has huge swaths of land. Afghanistan's pretty much a hellhole, but it's a big piece of, property there, big country. You've got Saudi Arabia, you've got the UAE, you've got all these countries. What do they do? What do they do? And then you have all these Muslim countries sit here and bitch about Israel all day, bitch about the Jews for some small piece of land for 50 frickin' years. Well, why don't you invite all the people into your countries? That's what happens here in the West. We take everybody. They lose their land for whatever reason. We take them in, and all these other countries sit and bitch about the Jews over a tiny piece of land, and they don't do anything. So I'm just sick of it. And then we get blamed for everything. And they blame the Jews for everything. Why don't the Muslims take some freaking people in? Excuse me.
No, it's fine. I get your rage. Saudi Arabia basically holds the moral finger to Germany. It's like, oh, you should treat Muslims better, integrate them more, don't be Islamophobic. Whereas they took in zero Syrian refugees during the crisis. And that was just like a fucking muck-up, you know. And all the fucking NGOs.
All right. Hey, Mike, we got to dump you. Too many curse words. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry. Thank you so much for calling. I hope you can call back. But to get to his question about religious wars, I mean, yeah, it's all being forced. I don't care. I don't want to fight Muslims. You know, the Muslims I've met, they claim they don't want to fight Jews. I mean, who knows what the hell is going on? The average person doesn't want to fight anybody. They just want to live their life. But again, the West... America sits here and literally takes millions and millions and millions of people, and we give them crap for free, okay? From all different parts of the world. We spend billions and billions and billions of dollars in financial aid, humanitarian aid, to all of these countries, and then somehow we're racist, we're the bad guys. Israel has a tiny little piece of land in the Middle East, whether you like them or not. Okay, and then there's another little plot of land everybody's bitching and complaining over. Well, where are these other countries taking people in? You sit here and you complain about the plight of all these poor people in the Golan Heights or over here or over there. Well, where's Saudi Arabia? Where is Iran? Where are all these people taking them in? No, we always have to take them in. And then the Jews get blamed for everything. And again, I don't even care about that. My issues are all here in America. I want to fix what's going on in the West. But we sit here and we have all of this investment in the Middle East, and it just does nothing for us. We are always blamed for everything. And they sit here and they bitch about tiny little spots of land when there's all kinds of land over here that these other countries could be helping people, bringing them in, and they don't do it. So... we'll see if there's another large war, because the last caller was right. Iran's going to be crushed. Europe is going to be crushed. They're going to have energy shortages, and they're going to be overwhelmed with more migrants. You know what? Here's the deal. Hopefully this is something that just blows over, because it probably was in some way, shape, or form a false flag, whoever did it, to start another war, start a bigger conflict, point the finger at somebody else. I don't think anybody died. It's basically just a terror attack at this point. And so you kind of hope it just blows over and you don't have a larger conflict, but it does make you wonder, with the U.S.-Iranian relations tough but being worked on, the prime minister of Japan there. I do agree with Matt Bracken. I don't think the notion that ship was Japanese had anything to do with it. I do think that it was probably just, okay, a hit, just hit whatever, all the tankers are there. But maybe not. Maybe they did the timing, waiting for the prime minister to be there. So It's all so complex, and it's all so above our heads, and that's the most frustrating thing about it, and that's why I'm just sick of all of it. We're in debt. We have an invasion here. We've got poor people here. We've got infrastructure collapsing. We've got frickin', there's a civil war happening in America, not just in the White House with the deep state and Trump. Go on the streets of Chicago, folks. People are killing each other every freaking day all over this country. You know, there's a story coming out of, I can't find it, Memphis. You had a U.S. Marshals tracking a guy down who is on a criminal watch list. They kill him in Memphis last night. Details as to who he was or why or have not been released. So they kill him. And then you have a big riot break out in Memphis. A bunch of people saying this is a racist crime because the guy was black. Police killed him. Wasn't even local police. And then they end up injuring 36 Memphis police officers. A handful of them had to go to the hospital. And they don't even know what happened. So there's civil wars happening here. You just had another police officer get shot in the back of the head off duty while he was filling up his grandma's car with new oil. Joseph Albarino or something, Aladino. So, I mean, it's just so out of control, man. It's just all out of control. I don't know. I mean, look, I don't want to think Trump's in over his head, but, like, come on, man. We're sitting here doing press conferences for Kim Kardashian. I mean, give me a break. And again, I don't even care. Kardashian's low-hanging fruit. Good for her. She's doing a lot of great work for these people being released from prison. But, you know, it's like this. See, I'm going to tell you something. I'm looking forward to listening to what Michael Savage says today because it's like, what does Trump do for the people that helped get him into office before anybody else would? Like, what does Kim Kardashian even do for Trump, really? Nothing. She doesn't promote Trump. She doesn't say the media's lying about Trump. She doesn't even stand up for her husband that gets bullied for wearing a Trump hat. But she gets the limelight when she goes and does a lot of great work for prison reform. Good for her. But my point is, look at all the people that go out on the streets and literally get beaten for Donald Trump. Look at all the people in the media that get censored and have their lives destroyed for Donald Trump. Do they get press conferences? No. But Kim Kardashian does. And I don't know if Trump sees the optics of that and how that angers people, or if people can just be neutral on it and just say, no, I can see the bigger picture why Trump would do that and hope that, you know, Kim Kardashian could ease some of the Hollywood hatred of him. But it's not going to happen. Just like the Democrats are never going to make a deal with them. So I don't know if he's so just hopeful in his thinking that he thinks these things are going to work out, but that's not going to happen. Trump has to shut down the border. Trump has to stop the wars happening in the Middle East. That's what we elected him to do. And again, not attacking Kim Kardashian, but having a press conference for Kim Kardashian today is not going to help anything. And by the way, all the prison reform that Donald Trump has done to help black people in this country, how much credit does he get for it? None. He gets zero.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show.
The fight for the future is now.
This is the War Room with Owen Schroyer at Infowars.com/show.
All right, last hour of the War Room today. I want to play this video that just came across. Oh, and you know, I should probably play the video Paul Watson shared too. In fact, I'm going to send that to you right now, Savannah, and if we can get that over as soon as possible. But here's a video of some Muslims in Canada talking about the state of Canada, and it's pretty shocking, so here it is.
Canada is a white supremacist, colonial, racist project, as is Israel, as is the state of Israel. So I don't even consider myself to be a Canadian because this is indigenous land and this land is
occupied. So just pause it right here. Just pause it right here. As I'm sending this to you right now, Savannah. See, so this is what I'm saying. Like, people want to sit here and bitch about Zionism and all this crap. So fine, you got a problem with it. It's a real thing. You know, do your reports on it. Fine, I don't even care. But like, here's what I don't understand. But I do understand. See, but this is the big game that they play. Okay. Notice how these Muslims in Canada are bitching about the West and bitching about Israel. Yet, notice how they sit here and enjoy all the spoils and the splendor of Western culture. I mean, seriously, like, go back to your Muslim country then. Like, what the hell, man? This is all they do. They sit here and they bitch about the West, and they sit here and they bitch about the Jews. So quit being involved with us. Leave the West. Go hang out in Saudi Arabia. Go hang out in some other Muslim country. Oh, that's right. They won't take you. I mean, it's just a joke. Seriously, it is just a joke. And I have nothing against Muslim people. I don't want to fight Muslims. I don't want to fight Jews. I don't want to fight anybody. It's just, I see this attack. I see all these Muslim people coming into the West, like Ilhan Omar, and they just bitch. It's like, then don't come here. If we're so bad, if we're so evil, why do you enjoy our way of life so much? Why did you leave your Muslim country to come here? Why do Western cultures have the most upward expansion of independent and individual freedom? Go back to the clip.
So, the people who are here, whether they are settlers, we firstly need to educate ourselves about what has happened on this land and what is continuously happening in order for us to be able to understand what our government or this government is doing on abroad and on overseas.
This is the resistance that we're going to continue to see, and as a result, neighboring countries and those who are fighting in solidarity all around the world will also rise with the Palestinians, and we will see.
So that's what I'm saying. It's like they sit here and they bitch about the same thing.
Destruction of the illegal Zionist state. This is for certain.
So there you go. Fine. So you're here fighting Zionism. They're telling you they're coming here for war. Do you understand? They're announcing their jihad. Like, what the hell do you think is going on? Hey, maybe you like it. At the end of the day, the Muslims aren't going to... Look what Muslims do. They behead gay people. They don't do transsexual stuff. They're not going to sexualize the children. So, hey, maybe you like some elements of that. But now listen to what this other guy says. Paul Joseph Watson shared this video. Listen to what this Muslim in Europe said.
What happened to a gay couple in Gaza?
They executed according to Islamic law. Really? Islam doesn't endorse gayism. Islam doesn't endorse homosexuality.
Well, okay, so would you like to see Sharia law in Canada replace Canadian law?
At some point it will. You know, because we have families, we are making babies. You're not. Your population is going down the slump.
That's right.
Right?
Yeah.
By 2060, Muslims will be the biggest religious group the world over.
Right.
What are you going to do then?
Actually,
are you going to oppose Sharia even then?
Now see, I mean, they're telling you, folks. The kids know it. Their kids know what they're coming here to do. The adults know what they're coming here to do. I mean, and it's not even a thing. Like, Christians don't stand up for themselves. White people don't stand up for themselves. White birth rate is way down. Christians are all hiding in corners. They don't want to come out and say anything. I mean, so they're here admitting they demonize the West. They demonize Israel. They point the finger and they say, you're bad. White people actually, I guess, believe it. Westerners believe it. They quit having kids. They basically, you know, chop their own you-know-what off. And then what happens? Muslims come in and say, you're bad. And then they procreate. They take over the government. And then they say that somehow we're bad. So they want to take over our system of prosperity while saying we're bad. And what we do, we just get the short end of the stick every time. I've got an Ebola report that we're going to air at the end of the show today from John Bowne. It's just unbelievable. Wide open borders. I'm telling you, first of all, I'm so overwhelmed with information now. It's just like, you know, just wide open border, people just pouring in, disease, we pay for all of it. We're just chumps. We're chumps. We're a bunch of chumps. and these fake politicians. I mean, you're going to sit here and cry, socialism, socialism, help the poor people. You have no means to do so. And you're increasing your problem when you have open border policies. I mean, there's like a sick, twisted side of me, like gallows humor, is like, let's actually hand these people the country. Like, let's actually let Muslims run the West, and let's let Democrats run America, and let's really see what happens, folks. Ha! I mean, seriously, like, but I happen to like America. I happen to like our way of life here. You know, are we the modern day Sodom and Gomorrah? Probably. But you know what? You can still live a moral life. You still have your independent freedom. You can still come from something to from nothing to something in this country, okay? So it's like, yeah, there's a lot of corruption. There's a lot of stuff we got to figure out. There's a lot of degeneracy. But I mean, my gosh, there's nowhere better to go. And everybody knows it. And they just want to sit here and piss on the golden goose. It's like, you know, that golden goose, it's a little dirty. It's got a little dust and a little grime on it. And you say, yeah, you're right, but that's a nice golden goose. It's the best one. Why don't we just polish it up a little bit? And they drop their drawers and take a big, fat, steaming dump on it. And then guess what? Pretty soon, after they've all crapped on the golden goose, nobody's going to want it anymore. That's where we're at. Yeah, in fact, Omar Navarro just put out a video. He's interviewing people in Skid Row. People come in from Venezuela like, this looks like Venezuela. I mean, teeth people are just a joke, man. In fact, let's do this right now. Let's do this right now. Clip 13. You want to see what happens in a Democrat-run city, ladies and gentlemen? This is the newest ad campaign promoting tourism in Los Angeles.
Los Angeles, California. Nicknamed the City of Angels, Los Angeles is a world center for business, international trade, entertainment, culture,
this is showing
media,
the tent cities
fashion,
and the total
science,
degeneracy,
technology, and education. Downtown Los Angeles is a vibrant city center where many people live, work, and play every day. Come experience world-class arts, entertainment, dining, nightlife, and a whole lot more. Then make a stop in Hollywood, the entertainment capital of the world, and take a stroll down the legendary Walk of Fame. A day at Universal Studios and experience movie-themed thrill rides and a backlot tour to see what goes on behind the scenes of your favorite films. End your day at Universal's City Walk for some drinks and live entertainment.
It's just showing the squalor and disgust
and
in LA.
Enjoy a sunny day on the beach looking over the Pacific Ocean, or visit the San Fernando Valley and get the full LA experience. So many things to do. So many things to experience. Los Angeles is truly
the hub of popular
culture and is a prime destination spot for travelers from across the country
world.
So don't miss out on the experience of a lifetime and discover why Los Angeles is such a unique and legendary destination.
All right. I needed that right there because, man, sometimes you just need a laugh to cure the ills of the soul. But there it is, folks. That's a Democrat city right there. And it's just so funny. Everywhere the Democrats get control, it ends up looking like this. And they sit there and they pat themselves on the back. I just can't even. It's just so crazy, man. Oh my gosh. What is this world? What is this simulation that I popped up in? How can I switch to an alternate universe immediately? Woo! Okay, let me squeeze in a call real quick. Alex in Michigan has been holding the longest. Alex, go ahead.
Hey, thanks for taking my call, Owen. And thanks for retweeting my InfoWars poster contest entry on Twitter, exposing the vaccine.
Yeah, Alex is going around to local department stores and pharmaceutical places and hanging up the InfoWars posters. So thank you, Alex. I saw your contest entry.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, I got to talk to Pfizer and Pfizer security and got escorted out of there.
Oh, that's fun.
And got some good footage. And I had a question to ask you, but first, on comment on Iran, I don't think it's random, like Matt was saying, that the prime minister of Shinzo Abe was in Iran, and then a Japanese oiler got hit. It doesn't really seem like random. I mean, call me crazy, but it seems like that deal with the oil deal.
Well, I would say Abe being in Iran is way more significant than the fact one of the tankers was Japanese. I do think that could just be happenstance, not Abe in Iran, but the tanker.
Yeah, stick a fork in that oil deal, though. Like, I do think like there could be something going on there. But anyway, I wanted to ask you: did you see the House Intelligence Committee hearing today, where Adam Schiff took a big old shift on internet rights and internet freedom? And they were just
Yeah. And then, I'm so glad you brought this up because I would have forgotten. I mean, you know, how do I decide what to cover here on air? Thanks so much for the call, Alex. Not only was Schiff up there attacking free speech, Mark Warner, honestly, there's so much news. How do you even? Mark Warner got up and was talking about the exclusive interview that Trump did with Step on All of Us, George Stephanopoulos, where he said he would take information from a foreign agency. He probably should have never done that interview. Some people think that Huckabee Sanders set it up and that's what eventually led to the ouster, but I don't think I buy that either. The point is, I saw this immediately, and I even sent myself a message when I saw the clip of Trump saying, yeah, I'd take foreign intelligence. It was one of President Trump's greatest trolls in the history of his presidency so far, and most people didn't see it at the time, but it's becoming more clear now because here's what's going to happen, folks. They're going to attack Trump saying he'd take information from a foreign intelligence service, and they're going to sit here and belabor that point. That's literally all they do. Specifically, though, Hillary Clinton to try to get Trump defeated in 2016. So Trump literally gives them bait, and it even like says, here's big fat bait, and the Democrats still take it every time. It's beautiful. And so now they're taking this bait, and it's going to blow right back up in their face. But it's time for Trump to start moving on these things because we're running out of time. Folks, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. I barely unplugged today, and we need your support at InfoWarsStore.com. And we've just got ridiculous deals. We're literally giving away the best supplements on earth. That's not a joke. When you purchase 8-pack Power Stack at InfoWarsStore.com, you get a free bottle of the brand new Ultra 12 Vitamin B12 supplement. Free. We're literally giving away the best supplements. The InfoWars Life supplement line at InfoWarsStore.com is the best supplement line I've ever seen, by far. And we're giving away Ultra 12 when you purchase the 8-pack Power Stack, which is, by the way, on sale for 50% off. So we're just giving away these supplements. And we believe that once you try them, you'll see the power and the effect, and so you'll become a repeat customer. That is our goal.
InfoWars.com/show.
How about this? You want proof America is sick of leftists politicizing everything, including sports? Last night, the St. Louis Blues won the Stanley Cup, and the ratings, the Stanley Cup ratings for this year were way up, big time. Very good news for the NHL, which, look, I've worked in both of these Well, I've worked in sports media, and I can tell you, for the NHL to get good ratings and be on the up like this is such good news for that league, which a lot of professionals working in it call a garbage league for good reason sometimes. But Stanley Cup ratings up. Now, why am I saying this? You never see hockey players taking a knee during an anthem. You never see hockey players bitching and complaining about America. By the way, these guys get paid the least of any professional athletes, and many of them take the most brutal beatings. And most of the athletes aren't even from America, but from European countries and Canada. But they never disrespect America and the flag. So ratings for the NHL, up. But what happens with the other finals happening right now? The NBA finals, down. NBA final ratings down nearly 25%. So you can say, oh, it's because of X, Y, or Z. I think there's a larger issue. People are sick of the left politicizing sports, like the Golden State Warriors. Steve Kerr, the head coach, bashes Trump and America and white people. Steph Curry is an avowed Democrat, probably radicalized by Obama. So people are just sick of this. They don't want to watch anti-Americans playing sports. That's why people have a bad taste in their mouth watching the U.S. women's national team. The captain bashes America. What the hell is that? The country that gave her everything. So just me doing a little side celebration here for my St. Louis audience with the Blues winning the Stanley Cup last night. And to just say again, why do you think NFL ratings and NBA ratings go down, which many people would say is more entertaining on television than hockey, while hockey ratings go up? Because when you're watching a hockey game, you don't have to deal with anti-American BS. They all sing the national anthem. They all stand. The fans sing and stand. And so hockey ratings go up. The NBA players that bash the country and the NFL players that kneel in the anthem cause ratings to go down. So just kind of a lesson, I think, in that. All right, let's go. We've had callers waiting a long time, so I'm going to clear out this caller bank. In fact, guys, we'll clear out these callers, and then we'll be done. I've got an important Ebola report at the end anyway. I've got some... It's just unbelievable, this news. It's so laughable now. Let's go to Richard calling in from Texas. Go ahead, Richard.
Hey, Owen.
Howdy.
So in regards to the Iran issue... I just wanted to say, I mean, it seems pretty obvious it's not Iran. One, because a mine was left behind. If Iran special forces would have left a mine behind, their entire team would have been executed immediately. Like, they don't make mistakes like that.
You brought that up, actually, because you're not hearing anyone talk about this. Pompeo has come out and blamed Iran. Nobody's talking about the unexploded device. That they should be able to trace that back to something. If it's a state-run operation out of Iran, they would know it based off that evidence alone. They're not using that as evidence. It's very odd.
Correct. And so, you know, of course, CIA operation, if it was the way it works lately, and I don't know if you noticed with most of the American false flags, they've been leaving obvious pieces of evidence, like the Skripal poisoning, pristine sample of Novichok. Like they know that Democrat lawmakers who are their allies are not very smart. So they have to like leave this obvious bread trail to be able to convince them of what it is, because there's oversight, obviously. And so, you know, if you saw like with Snowden, all of the actual illegal operations are done through private military contractors. The NSA, the CIA, they plan the missions and they plan the goals with powerful, you know.
Yeah, and they still have, and these globalists that infiltrated our government still have these sleeper cells. I mean, Trump is trying to get control of these bureaucracies, but it's so bad now that they basically are of their own entities and can run operations outside of anyone's purview.
BPS, perfect example. You know, like they set up these groups and then they execute the operation when they need it. And so the point of this operation is to, again, they're thinking with the Ebola thing, and excellent job covering that, that there's a chance that Trump might actually get the border closed. So they always have a second plan. So they want to make sure if they can start a war with Iran, oh, whoops, we have to, by law, take all these refugees. And then they know it's going to massively destabilize the economy. It's going to do a number of things that all of the effects of a war with Iran would be against Trump, against America, and pro-globalist.
Well, and if it's Iran or not, I don't want to see a further conflict. I'm just sick of being involved in all this crap. Quite frankly, it's costing us way too much money, and our troops are dying. They need to be at the border where we have a real invasion happening. Great call, Richard. Thank you for calling today. Let's go to Dennis calling in from California today. Go ahead, Dennis.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Yeah, it just seems like it would be the Israeli government, just because, you know, like you mentioned earlier, that Netanyahu tried to get us to take the bait earlier with some of his announcements. And, you know, it's an enemy of theirs, clearly. And also, it's a distraction, like you said, as far as what the globalists want, you know, from our southern border, which is more of a concern to us. I agree with you that screw them. We don't need to be over there. We don't need that oil. We should concentrate on our own border and our own security, and we don't need to be there. I kind of wonder what's going on with Trump and why he's not being more proactive. Makes me think maybe he's the Judas goat, you know? Always said that about Obama, but now I'm looking at Trump. He says he's going to do stuff.
Well, look, if Trump goes, if Trump is, as you would say, a Judas goat, he's not of the same entity of Obama by any stretch. I mean, Trump is actually doing things to try to stop America from collapsing. He needs to do more. I think that at the heart of Trump, he wants to make deals. He wants to get along, and he has a liberal bent to him. He's always had that. I think that he carries that with him into office. And so a lot of us get frustrated because he's not so hardcore. And we see these things not being taken care of, like the border, for example. So I'm not willing to say that Trump is necessarily gone sideways or was the, you know, not what we thought he was. But, you know, look, we'll see what happens. I've always said I'm going to wait and see what happens until he gets out of office before I do a total judgment of President Trump. But, I mean, look, the border is worse under Trump than it was under Obama. Whether you want to blame Trump or not is irrelevant. That's a fact. And Trump got elected as a nationalist. It's time to commit to a nationalist movement here and start putting American interests first, because it's been way too long. And he's doing that in some cases, but a larger war in the Middle East and an expanded conflict over there is just the last thing we need right now. And in fact, that will literally put a wrench into everything he's trying to do domestically. We just cannot have it. We cannot have another conflict in the Middle East. I just pull all the troops home. Thanks for the call. All right, we'll take a couple more quick calls and then finish off with the news.
The War Room. Infowars.com/show. Decoding enemy transmissions so you get the truth. This is The War Room with Owen Scheuer. Watch the live stream at Infowars.com/show.
Folks, we literally have so much content here at Infowars, and because they deplatformed us, we have to cram it into 10 hours of live broadcast a day, and we still don't even have enough time. It's just like I can't even tell you how frustrating it is. But please support us at InfoWarsStore.com so we can expand, so that all the great videos and compilations and everything that people put together here, we can air all of it, because they put together a great video I'm about to air here. They're like, hey, did you play that video? And I'm like, well, man, I don't even have time, but we're going to air it right now. And so I'm not going to be able to get to most of this news and some of these other video clips that are just shocking. It's how it is every day here. I can't even get to half the stuff I want to. It's very rare we can get it all out. I apologize to the callers that have been waiting for hours. We just don't have the time today. It's frustrating, folks. I mean, I could do 3 hours a day just strip mining through all the intel I have from the border. And, you know, this is in the middle of me going out in the field every day, doing field reports, going to events, doing live streams from drag queen story times and weather modification events. I mean, so... Please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. It's a struggle here just to get the information that we have out with the amount of time we have. I mean, it'd be different if we were still allowed on YouTube, where we could just push content out 24/7 and it would go, you know, always gets tens of thousands of views, sometimes, you know, millions. But we don't get to do that because we're bad. So here is a report on Joe Biden.
Now, I was most proud of, for 8 years, There wasn't one single hint of a scandal or a lie.
The president under pressure from a trifecta of scandals.
President Barack Obama trying to get ahead of just one of the three scandals now consuming the country's attention.
That scandal involving the Secret Service and accusations of drinking and hiring prostitutes in Colombia.
The Obama spying scandal.
The mother of all scandals, Spygate.
This is a big scandal.
It's a huge scandal.
The Gunwalker scandal.
The VA scandal.
VA scandal.
It's a scandal telling America you can keep your doctor, a callous deception that hurts millions.
Today, widespread embarrassment about this scandal has really turned to disgust.
All of this comes as a White House that takes pride in being scandal-free has been hammered by a series of controversies.
President Obama is fending off incoming fire on
what
several
went wrong
fronts.
In Benghazi and whether
this
the Secretary
seems like a genuine
potential
scandal.
Third scandal.
The latest revelations the Justice Department obtained 2 months of telephone records.
By the way, folks, these are not just conservative commentators. You have liberal commentators, mainstream news commentators on this compilation.
He accused himself from the probe early on.
This is the type of video we would put on it on YouTube, and it'd get a million views.
The information that was leaked.
I believe there's been a pattern by this administration in not taking responsibility for failures, avoiding blame, pointing the fingers in somebody else's direction. Would you agree with that?
No.
For 8 years, there wasn't one single hint of a scandal.
The CIA went into walled-off Senate computers.
I mean, think about that.
In a bona fide
investigation. Think about Joe Biden telling an audience that there was not one scandal during the Obama years.
Interrogation of detainees.
As far as the allegations.
It's like me saying, I have never had a beard. I cannot grow a beard. I've never even seen a beard. And so I'm just proud to say that I've never had a beard. And then the audience is like, ah, oh my gosh, he never had a beard. As I'm standing here with like a massive beard.
And it isn't the first time. It's actually the third time.
CIA Director John Brennan apologized today after an internal investigation determined the agency had spied on staff members of the United States Senate.
Firestorm surrounding the IRS. Last night, we asked if what they did was fair. Tonight, the FBI is asking, was it criminal?
House Speaker John Boehner led the way this morning as Republicans stepped up demands for action in the scandal at the Internal Revenue Service.
My question isn't about who's going to resign. My question is, who's going to jail?
And the president? Well, he says he did not know the IRS was singling out conservative groups until the news broke.
I first learned about it from the same news reports that I think most people learned about this.
Politically motivated audits are so obviously wrong, they've even been comedy fodder for the president.
President Crow and the Board of Regents will soon learn about being audited by the IRS.
Ms. Lerner, why would you say Tea Party cases were very dangerous?
My counsel has advised me that I have not waived my constitutional rights under the Fifth Amendment, and on his advice, I will decline to answer any question on the subject matter of this hearing.
Did you ever discern any anti-Tea Party or anti-conservative bias, or was it just bureaucratic demands that just were never ending?
There's absolutely no targeting. This is the kind of back and forth that happens when people apply for 501c4 status.
It's obvious that they were trying to make the process as difficult as possible, and they're still, to this day, stringing Tea Party patriots along.
In the years before the election, more liberal groups were being approved, while conservative groups with names like Patriot, Constitution, and Tea Party were stymied. In 2011, not a single Tea Party group was approved.
Operation Fast and Furious, an Obama administration program that let thousands of assault weapons fall into the hands of violent Mexican drug cartels. Guns found at over 170 crime scenes, including the murder of a U.S. Border Patrol agent. The Obama administration denied the program's existence and withheld information to protect political appointees. The Dallas Morning News calls this a cover. Will anyone be held accountable?
There wasn't one single hint.
My main concern is fixing a problem.
Now to the VA scandal, which is now a criminal investigation. An extensive new report reveals more than 100,000 veterans waited months to see a doctor or never saw one at all. And some workers saying they were pressured to falsify records.
Now the VA scandal has officially become a criminal investigation.
I think I'm either low IQ or slow, or I don't know what I am, you know, slow Joe Biden.
You know, folks, I laugh at this notion that InfoWars is like some sort of controlled opposition or like run by some shadow agency or something. I'm not trying to air dirty laundry here, but it's like we're lucky if we can even put the same colored sock on, okay, half the time around here, or tie our shoes and not trip over ourselves. Because here's my frustration. I have to decide what I do with my 3 hours here to be as impactful and informative as possible. And so I have to make conscious decisions and intellectual decisions and philosophical decisions, what I spend my time covering. A lot of stuff doesn't make it. So we air this video, just so you understand how it works around here. And so I'm sitting here thinking, wow, this is a powerful video. Now, my audience, they probably already know all that. That video is not necessarily going to impact my audience. But that video can impact neutral people. That video can impact leftists who see Biden say that and then see all the proof he's a total fraud, a total phony, a total liar. And so that's why they took us off YouTube, so we don't have that power. So I'm sitting here saying, all right, how can I get the audience that video so that they can share it on YouTube and their social media platforms so we can make it go viral? And I'm like, hey, what's the story at InfoWars.com? And we don't even have it yet. So I'm not complaining. It'll be up at InfoWars.com, and hopefully you can go download it there and then share it on your YouTube. My point is, folks, like, literally, we are absorbing information in real time, putting stuff out in real time, nonstop creating content, nonstop working around the clock, everybody here, not just the people you see in front of the camera, but everybody. And so our challenge now is that we need the audience to share our stuff. That video would have gotten 1 million views on the Alex Jones channel on YouTube, but we don't get that privilege anymore. So we need others to promote it. And by the way, no other media outlets promote InfoWars stuff because they're so scared to death. So it's literally up to the audience to make sure that videos like that looks like either Dew or McBreen put that great video together. It's literally up to the audience that the great work that we do here reaches the millions of people that want to hear it. It's literally up to you. Because Rob Dew and Darren McBreen put all this time and effort into these compilations and videos, and most of the time we just get to air it here on air, and it just kind of runs into a dead end because we don't get to post it on social media. We need you to do it. So you can download all the InfoWars content from the War Room at InfoWars.com/War Room, all the segments we do here. But it's just so frustrating. Do I have any time in the next segment, or does the next video take the whole segment? So see, it's like, we don't even know. Folks, please support us at InfoWarsStore.com. That's it for me. Thanks to everybody that tuned in. It's just, you know, didn't even get to all the news. The world's crazy. We'll be back at it again tomorrow. An Ebola report coming up next. You stay classy.
The War Room. InfoWars.com/show.
All right, turns out I got a minute here. So hopefully we'll get to this tomorrow. A Denver City Council member says communism by any way necessary. You've got just all kinds of ridiculousness happening. The Mar-a-Lago lady, the potential Chinese spy, they are opening a deep probe into her. Remember that story? That's coming back. MSNBC shakeup. Jonathan Wald and Dan Arnell take dayside. MSNBC's ratings are tanking quickly, so they're trying to save it. Try doing real news and not attack Trump all day. Meanwhile, I thank the audience. While we're getting totally censored, we're still surviving. So it's really a miracle. But here's CNN. Sarah Sanders' legacy, the death of the White House press briefing. No. Sarah Sanders made White House press briefings more popular than ever. That's why you covered them. So it's hilarious that they know Sarah Sanders is why they covered him, and then they act like she was the death of him. You're a joke, CNN. And then this from Politico. This is so laughable. FBI faces new hurdle in election interference fight, Donald Trump. So, all right. That's always fun from Politico. Just total garbage. All right. Here's a very important report from John Bowne on the Ebola crisis.
All it took for the Ebola virus to jump over the border between the Congo and Uganda in Africa was an infected group of six people crossing via a footpath. Since then, a five-year-old boy on the Ugandan side died from the Ebola disease after vomiting up blood. Fox reported, "The stubbornness of Congolese is a challenge in screening," a Ugandan Red Cross official, Francis Tumwine, told the Associated Press. At one border crossing last week, they have failed to understand that Ebola is there. They think that it is witchcraft which is killing them. Meanwhile, hundreds of Congolese refugees were dumped in San Antonio, Texas, and then bussed into the interior of the United States, disappearing into the population without travel documents and/or host homes.
Before, months ago, they still had to have travel documents, but the federal government stopped making that a kind of like a policy, right? And because they can still grant asylum to anyone, even if they don't have asylum. I mean, sorry, they don't have host homes.
And there is a network of providers offering cash assistance to refugees. Just 2 years ago, Reuters reported on George Soros's Humanity Ventures, earmarking $500 million to ensure that refugees can enter the United States en masse. The state-funded Refugee Cash Assistance Plan helps refugees acquire apartments with furnishings, food and clothing, school registration, etc.
All of them, again, have received asylum from the federal government. Can't be clear enough about that.
Right.
So I know there's a lot of conspiracy out there about that, but that's true.
Right.
Like, these are, even the Congolese have received, you know, got asylum, right? What's frustrating about that, they did not get assigned host homes. I have no idea why they were not like that. You'd have to ask the federal government why they released migrants without host homes assigned, because that's usually not protocol.
U.S. border town seeks African dialect speakers as hundreds of Africans cross from Mexico. That's today. That's hundreds more today. Exactly what Border Patrol told me this morning. They said, "Yeah, Mr. Jones, we're really freaked out. Do you know why Fox News won't cover this? Do you know why the president isn't talking about the Ebola threat? Because we'll be honest with you, you know, just like years ago, we just go down the line and nothing against you, but, you know, it'd be bigger if Fox did this." And I go, "I understand." They go, "But we know that you'll get it out, and maybe Matt Drudge will get it out." A normal news editor at a major paper would spend days just on this topic. I mean, this is so huge. This is like giant kahuna level insane. I live here. I have four children here. We're already seeing drug resistant whooping cough and TB. It's everywhere. People are dying, and I know.
Of course, the Mockingbird media quickly grabbed the master narrative and spread their propaganda to local stations across the country, claiming independent media was misleading. Get a load of how National Newsboy arrogantly uses the same sources yet comes to a different, misleading conclusion.
That is the direct headline being shared on social media right now. It's a case of two facts being put together in a misleading way. Here's how we know, starting with our sources. The city of San Antonio, Customs and Border Protection, the World Health Organization, and my colleagues at KENS in San Antonio. Now, it is true that Congolese refugees come from a country with an Ebola outbreak. That's the second fact here. But if you stop there, you miss important context. The CBP confirmed to verify that they monitor all immigrants to the country and have tests to identify cases of Ebola. They have had no encounters of Ebola along the southwest border. Bottom line, headlines like this are misleading. While Congo is having an Ebola outbreak, immigrants from the country are tested, and there's no evidence that they are carrying any dangerous virus into the U.S.
Yet the article never claims that they are carrying the Ebola virus, Captain Verify. The article is simply concerned that an outbreak of this potential magnitude isn't a top priority. Oh, that's right. We aren't allowed to ask relevant questions. I forgot. Where were these monitors in 2014? During the 2014 to 2016 Ebola outbreak in the United States, where 11 people were treated, including an Ebola-infected 45-year-old man who, according to the CDC, was treated for possible sinusitis and discharged. 3 days later, the man returned to the hospital by ambulance with a persistent fever, abdominal pain, and new-onset diarrhea. 2 days later, the Texas Department of State Health Services and the CDC confirmed that patient 1, was positive for the Ebola virus. 8 days later, he was dead. He had also infected a Dallas, Texas nurse.
A second nurse in Dallas has tested positive for Ebola. Amber Vinson is, for now, in stable condition, but her case is raising serious concerns that measures they're using to contain Ebola are not measuring up.
That was one man who sought treatment. Of course, we are told we have nothing to worry about.
Yeah, so they don't have Ebola. Ebola would be transferred within 21 days, right? These migrants have been traveling. The ones that you're talking about from the Congo would have gotten Ebola months ago through their travels. So Ebola is not really a concern.
You feel totally confident that there is no threat of disease at this facility?
I feel totally confident that there is no threat of Ebola at this facility. We are told that they're doing background checks and that they're doing medical screenings. And then they're being given paperwork to appear in the ICE or asylum-seeking court.
What percentage of the people show up for the asylum hearing?
So it depends on the demographic, the court, but we do see too many cases where people are not showing up. We did an expedited pilot with family units this year with ICE and the immigration courts. Out of those 7,000 cases, 90 received final orders of removal in absentia, 90%.
90% did not show up?
Correct.
Okay.
I am totally confident that there is no risk of Ebola here in the city of San Antonio.
Have you checked all the medical records of everybody that comes through this facility?
No, but because Ebola has an incubation period of 21 days and these folks have been traveling for 6 and 7 months.
I think you as a doctor know that that's not a good excuse, though, because you know disease can travel with people.
So are you asking me questions?
Yes.
I've answered your questions. Is there any other question I can answer?
In a study that cited in the National Library of Medicine, a study was published by The Lancet Medical Journal. That study found that nearly 100% of the people that they studied from Africa had antibodies for Ebola. What does that mean? It means that, according to mainstream science, that almost 100% of those people were exposed to Ebola, but it didn't kill them. In fact, they showed no symptoms. And what can happen, even after you build antibodies, there can be viral fragments or viable viruses that continue to persist throughout your body. And they can exist in body fluids, such as mucus or semen or blood, of course, or other body fluids. And this is how many viral diseases spread, including Ebola. But what happens when you have essentially dormant Ebola that's in a person's body, showing no symptoms? And the science has also shown that some of those people will not test positive for Ebola right away. They can have Ebola for a period of time, in other words, and show no symptoms and not even test positive for Ebola if there's a medical test given. If those individuals arrive in the United States and then they begin to, for example, in whatever way you might imagine, share body fluids with the American people who may not be from Africa and may be more susceptible to these infections, you could theoretically get dormant Ebola from a carrier who has no symptoms, suddenly transforming into active Ebola in someone who has no immunity.
But all it takes is a tiny bit of common sense to realize that an Ebola outbreak could happen at any moment, as there are hundreds of Congolese refugees starting their journey north from as far south as Brazil and Ecuador. All it would take is one to infect hundreds of immigrants that are migrating north by the thousands.
Well, what if it continued to spread? What if it starts spreading outside of a hospital environment? What if it spreads in a migrant processing center? What if it spreads on the streets?